heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
Here's the thing. At the core of the struggle in America, I see it's a bit of a tug of war going on, is the way I would describe it. And on one side, it's between free market principles. And on the other side, it seems to be government-led policies. Now, there are a lot of people that have got into these various groups that are kind of pushing the government-led policies. And that's where this talk of where liberalism now, and let's be clear of something here. The lines have blurred dramatically between liberalism, socialism, and Marxism. Now, I'm not just trying to be a smart guy when I put that out there in such a way, people, but it really is. If you follow the bouncing ball here, and you look at, for instance, what's going on with the Democrat Party, I mean, you cannot deny that the entire party has taken a far left turn. I mean, they are so lost in the wilderness right now. So then I begin to ask myself and say, okay, how did we get here? And where's the fight in all of this? You know, I talk to you all the time about the fight. And I'm talking about the fight of real conservatism. Another word I would use is real patriotism. And we can argue, you know, what that patriotism means or doesn't mean, but you get the sense of what I really mean when I talk about, you know, this republic here, this union we have that we love, that we call America, and where the framers were, where they started, where the founders started this experiment. And it really, really was and still is an experiment, because in the history of countries and nations, we are still a young country. We really truly are a young lad ourselves here in America. So, you know, maybe you kind of look at us, maybe we're at the teenage stage. Maybe that's why, maybe that's an interesting way to look at it. Things seem to be a little reckless right now, almost like a teenager, in fact, if you think about it in those terms, you know, like a pimple-faced, teenager, right? Where our hormones are jumping all over the place and we quite kind of don't know what we want to do when we really grow up. Some of it's a bit radical. Some of it's a bit mischievous. And, you know, and then some of it is potentially honorable, we hope, right? That's the struggle and the fight of what's really going on here in this country right now. So there's a lot of studies right now that are showing a favorable outlook on socialism. And they're daunting to look at when you start to think, well, and I hear these reports, okay, so what do the millennials really think? Because, you know, the generation that's really in power right now and that's coming into power big time is the millennials. That's where the power is. I mean, the baby boomers are now getting much older. And many of those are not in those power positions anymore. When you start to look at the studies and the polls and the various things that are done with millennials, they tend to favor socialism. They tend to favor what this looks like or what it's been put out for. The way they've defined it, and I want to redefine it today with you so you have a sense of that, what really is socialism? What are we looking at here? You know, you can package anything, people. It's just what's inside the package is what we got to worry about, you know, not the pretty package and the bow on the outside, clearly. And I think that's what's happened to the young people. These reckless leaders, and for a better word, leaders, you know, they're not leaders, but these political hacks, I guess would be a better term we'll use, right, for the moment. So the political hacks are dressing this up with free everything, and you hear them. I mean, they're not hiding this anymore, people. It's right out in the public square. It's all over the newscast. It's all over the various news publications you read. And what they're proposing is to attract the tens and hundreds of millions of people they need to vote for them. What they're doing is putting out there this story that it's good for you, like a good fresh bowl of Cheerios in the morning. It's really good stuff. And we're going to give you free education, and right? So we'll give you free health care. We'll even give you peanut butter and jelly to go along with that if that'll get your vote. And you know, we'll keep the borders open. we'll just keep pretending that Lady Liberty is there, and she's now taken one for the team. They're going to have to put a new statue up there in the harbor, by the way. They'll have to have her bent over backwards at this point. You know that. The one with the torch in the air is not going to work anymore. That one came from France. Maybe we can get the next one from Venezuela. Probably Maduro will give us a statue we can put in the harbor there, huh? Maybe that's the answer. We could put a new plaque on it, right? You know, so really we're going to have to redefine some things here as we move forward here. But the thing I want you to begin to ask yourself, and what I question here with all of this is, how did we get here? How did we get here? How reckless has this been? And, you know, I really have gotten a bit irritated in past days and weeks and months because I'm hearing a lot of whining. And a lot of you people listening are probably doing some of the whining, quite frankly. There's a lot of whining out there. Do you get the sense of what I'm talking about? Whining? It's all over the place. It's all over social media if you care to play there for too long. But for those who do, there's a lot of whining, people griping and complaining and bitching about everything. And you know how those bad liberals, those bad socialists and what they're doing to us. And that's what I mean by whining. There's a lot of complaining about who they are. And there's a lot of creative sarcasm. That creative sarcasm is great to get a lot of followers and to get a lot of likes in your social media. You just got to be a little sarcastic and you package it up and it gets you a lot of likes and followers and people are happy. It's kind of a culture unto its own, if you will. But these are the people who whine and they bitch and complain about where we stand today. And then I start thinking about, you know, where are we today and why? Where has the conservatives been in this fight? And I did a show with women the other day and they said, well, conservatives are more polite. Maybe conservative women are more ladylike or the men are more gentlemanlike or whatever the hell you want to call it, people, you know. And they say, well, the left is in the gutter and they're fighting like really nasty. But, you know, we're not really fighting nasty. We're polite. We're above all of this. So we took the high road. The high road to hell probably is where that's going, I think, you know. But that's what I hear a lot of right now. So, and then we go back to our whining. Like, well, but like, what's going on with the education system and the schools and all these colleges and what have you? Why is this indoctrination? Well, I don't want to send my kids there. Well, then, but all the teachers and the professors are mostly liberal. So I asked the question, where are the conservatives? Well, we don't know where the conservatives. Well, they're all making money. That's it. They want to make money. They got to raise their families. So that's what they're doing, Malcolm. So behave yourself, will you? Yeah, so they're not teaching. Well, these are the same people. Well, but you got the liberal I don't want my kids with those professors. But I want to go make money. So I'm busy making money, and that's, you know, we're going to leave the education to the socialists to educate the kids. What could go wrong with that picture, right, people? And then we sit now, and I hear so much of this lately. We blame the education system. It's not really the education system. You know, it's really not them. I mean, it's really not the professors or the teachers or the liberal doctrine they're pushing or the history. It's not really them that's the culprit here. It's not them. It's you. It's the conservative movement that has allowed all this to happen. So where are they in this fight? Out making money as this generation goes to hell? And as the kids are being indoctrinated in this new form of socialism? And that's what we're looking at. And that's okay, but you took the high road. So you feel better. You sleep at night for the moment. Till they take it all from you. And there seems to be this void out there. This void, there's a lot of, well, I keep hearing this word compassion and polite, and they just don't want to get into the gutter. People, I'm going to tell you right now, if they don't start to get into the gutter and fight, and I mean a real bully yard, it's time for a street yard fight. Just, you remember seeing that as a kid growing up in the schoolyard? Isn't it time for that kind of a fight? You bet your ass it is. Time to punch a good liberal in the nose. Now you might say, wow, you're into violence now, Malcolm. What's going on for you, man? You know? Well, people, you know, we've sent all this away. We've taken the education system, sent it away. Same thing with all the social media companies. We've given all those away to the far left radicals. They run and own it all. Conservatives don't own it. You know, I tell you this all the time. They run all the newspapers. They run all the television networks. They run all of it. They run the search engines. They run the technology. They run it all. So all we do as conservatives is sit there and whine and bitch and gripe all day long. Oh, I can't get my message out there. They just won't let me. They're censoring me. They're shadow banning me. What's the matter with these people? My kids are indoctrinated with this socialism crap. And the conservatives, their answer back is, well, we're being polite. We're more polite. We took the high road, Malcolm. So today, friends, I want to talk to you about the high road to hell and where that's going on. I got a special guest coming on here. Buckle your seatbelt up for this one here. You may just need it.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue: Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. To unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Is our Republican form of government already lost? Is it already gone? And are we just pretending that it's still here with us? Let's bring on a dear friend of the program here and a great contributor here at America Out Loud. George McClellan is here with me. He's a historian and a political analyst. George has he's had a career well over 40 years in law enforcement and the U.S. Naval Investigative Service. He's a great voice and just a great thinker. You know, there are certain people you meet out there, friends, you know, that are just good thinkers. They're able to think and take a look at a problem and jump it up to 35,000 feet. And I love that. Today's one of those talks. We're going to take a deep dive as to what's gone wrong with conservatism. So, George, here's what I'm really thinking. I've had a series of shows over the past many, many months on The Voice of a Nation about this, more or less about some of these topics here. But I'm asking a lot of conservatives what's really going on. And they're really saying to me, their answers back, and some good people are saying this. I mean, they say, well, because I asked the question, why are they outsmarting Republicans and conservatives at all? Why are they doing that? Well, they're more polite, they tell me. Or they're busy working. Then I ask why they're not in the education system and the social media and all the media outlets. And, you know, they own and run the entire megaphone of the populace here. Then, because that's the answer as to why you've got a question back, George. Why all of a sudden all the studies show that almost about 60% of the millennials feel that, yeah, socialism is a good brand of Cheerios. I'll have that brand, thank you very much. You know, and that's what people are really feeling. So I guess I've got to put out to you first here is it looks like the Kool-Aid is a bit tainted at this point. And I'm wondering, where am I gone wrong here? Tell me I'm wrong here and I've totally misaligned this opening here. Tell me I'm full of it, please.
Well, thank you very much. You said, is our Republican form of government already lost? And you ask why or how that could be. It's simple enough is we have entrusted the Republican Party who claim to be conservatives, with protecting our conservative rights and our conservative principles, and they're not doing it. and they haven't done it. They have grown attached to the free meals that the Democrats have been giving us for so many years. Has conservatism failed? No, it hasn't failed. The Republican Party has failed. And look at them lining up now to bring down Trump. The Republicans I'm talking about. And those people waiting in the wings, the deep state thinkers on that side who think that Trump is a buffoon, Trump is not doing our president, Trump is not doing what they want him to do. And what they would want him to do is the same formula we have been experiencing for years and years and years. You mentioned packaging socialism. Mm-hmm. The Democrat Party, as if we would look at the news now today, as we watch it, mm-hmm. we suddenly realize they're not packaging anything. If you package socialism like the media tries to do or has tried to do, no matter what you do, once you take the packaging off, the wrappers off, and throw them in the trash, you still have a Cuba or a Venezuela in that package. And that's what they want for this country. That's what they want for us. And what I fear is a repeat of what happened several years ago when Americans re-elected Barack Obama. They re-elected Barack Obama. And that scared the hell out of me. And that's the truth. And what else scares me is the Democrats are making promises out here that to us sound absolutely ridiculous.
George, I never thought in 100 years that Barack Obama would have gotten another term. So I had already kind of dismissed it. In fact, the truth be told, George, I didn't think this country was going to elect him the first time. In fact, George, you know, I had some dinner with a friend of mine who was a Democrat. You say, oh, Malcolm, you got Democrat friends. Yeah, I do got Democrat friends, believe it or not, people. Yeah, just like you do out there. That's why I tell you to invite them to the show all the time. They're mixed into society. They're mixed into our life. Don't forget that. But George, I was having dinner with a guy who became an ambassador to I'm going to leave the country nameless, but to a country in the hemisphere here. And I was having dinner with him. This was in 2007 with the Obama campaign in full might. And he was, they were really excited about Obama at the time. Now, I'd already looked into the man as a commentator and had realized that this was not going to be a man that would win the White House. I thought it was a fool's game. And so we were having dinner and they were really like hyped up on this hope and change and the whole campaign that was spun. And I said, it's never going to work. He's not going to get the White House. You're fooling yourself. And they really felt they had something with him. Well, I got to tell you, George, I was beyond flabbergasted when he won in 08 and he became the president. I was shocked. Knowing his background and his past and who he was, I was more than shocked. And then when it happened again in 2012, you're so right when you say what you just said, I was double in shock. But you know, George, I think the reason I stop a moment and talk about that with you is because that probably should have been the first sign to us, George, that we were in trouble. And George, while all that was going on, I mean, you know, they were all tooting the hope and change sort of thing that Obama was going to bring. But it should have been a first sign to us, as conservatives, that we were in trouble here. And the fact that the country put a Barack Obama in for a second term for another 4 years to really make this country on the path to a Marxist operation, that should have been the warning sign, but it wasn't, was it?
It was not. No, people didn't pick up on that. Interestingly, there was a political commentator in the country of Czechoslovakia mm-hmm. who wrote a wonderful piece on that very subject, what happened to the American people who re-elected this guy. But, you know, they're out in the open now. I mean, Beto O'Rourke says it's okay for a woman to murder her baby a minute before it's born. And they're bragging on that. And let me tell you, you better believe them. They want that. When they tell you they want to institute the Green New Deal, which is absolutely a disaster economically, you better believe them because it'll tax us to death to do it. These people are out in the open now, and now we need Republicans, not just Donald Trump with his tweets, but we need other Republicans to stand up and start challenging this stuff. I mean, Beto O'Rourke should be challenged every time he opens his damn mouth, but there's nobody out there who's challenging him.
Yeah, but he's going down, George. He's not getting anywhere.
Well, yeah, but he's still got airtime.
Yeah, you're right.
He still has airtime, most of them do. They still have airtime.
Sure, they do.
You know, we've got to have that stage, not just leave it to Donald Trump.
Well, but the media, again, all those outlets are owned by left radical people, George, which was my earlier point. They own everything, George.
Well, that's true. And that's undeniable. We can do nothing about that.
Well, we can. The only thing we can do is buy them over, because in a free enterprise capitalistic society, they have a right to buy all this crap, George, and they own it all. I guess the big question is, George, why do you think conservatives are disengaged in these? I mean, you take a look at all of our television networks, George, all of the major newspapers, George, all of the social media outlets, George, all of the big technology companies, George. Whatever it is, come right down the list, George. Why is it these? I mean, I got to tell you, George, I'm going to tell you something here, and I hope you'll disagree with me, maybe potentially, but I think the left is far smarter than the right. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well,
go ahead, George. Go ahead. I'm waiting.
Yeah, it's not that they're smarter, but they're socialist and they're in the Bolshevik mode. They're determined. Now they do not care. And they will press on regardless of what happens. Look at the Jerry Nadler. In the face of all logic, he still insists on pursuing articles of impeachment against the president. In the face, Schiff has dropped out. He's kind of backed away because he sees the writing on the wall. The Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, she says there's going to be no impeachment because she sees the danger in that for the Democrat Party. Nadler, he still carries on, and he gets news.
But, George, let me talk to you about impeachment. I think there's going to be an impeachment attempt. I would disagree with you, but let me say this first. I think they're going to do it closer to the 2020 election. I think Pelosi is strategically waiting closer. In fact, what they're trying to do right now, I think the game plan of the left or the socialist Marxist people, they're trying to find a strategic piece of dirt. Now, when I say strategic, George, I mean, they really want a strategic piece of dirt that they can bring out. And I think they already kind of know what they're looking for, and they probably are pretty close to having it if they don't already have it. But they're waiting closer to the 2020 election, and I think they're going to make their move for impeachment right there so that they can mar and tar his name to hell. Don't you think that's what they're looking for?
No, it's too late. Trump has made too much progress for America. And it's too late. They've run all those little crummy little stories along, and there is going to be.
So you think it's a slam dunk he gets reelected? You think it's going to happen?
No, I think he will probably be reelected.
Okay.
But remember, they reelected Barack Obama. Are they capable of removing Trump by the vote?
Sure
yes,
is.
They are.
Yeah.
And we also have the problem of the voting machines. Mississippi just had discovered that. Mm-hmm. On one of their touchscreen voting machines, all the votes went to Democrats. That was in the news. That was yesterday. That was in the news yesterday. See how fast it drops from the horizon?
I didn't even hear that one.
It certainly does. It dropped right from the horizon. So are our voter base capable of removing Trump? Yes, they are. By hook or by crook, the Democrats are going to get what they want. Now, what is our ace in the hole? It's Bob Barr and the destruction of the high leadership of the FBI and the DOJ. That is treason at the top
level. Well, but let me now talk about that briefly with you. Listen to this, brother. In the news in the last few days here, the IG report came out, the Inspector General's report, and Comey, and we'll be talking about this on the platform and the network in the days ahead. It's a hot story. But here he has definitely been, he's incriminated with the fact that he's a leaker. He lied. He took all of these documents and put them in his home in a personal safe. He broke all the rules. If you or I or anybody we know in our life did that, George, we would absolutely be behind bars. We'd be locked up. Yet this man is there. The DOJ is not proposing any attempt to nail him. They're saying, I don't even know if there'll be a referral. So what do you think happens? Why does he get walking? See, that's where justice isn't played out here. I mean, isn't that in the face of justice a crime in itself?
Justice is not guaranteed. Is justice is what I say it is. There's no guaranteed outcome. So you want justice? Why isn't Hillary Clinton in the dock? You got to start. You know, America will not be healed until that group of criminals face trial, go to trial. And we know that they're going to trial.
So does that happen? Does that happen, George? Should they go to trial?
Well, we're going to see, aren't we?
You're saying we won't be healed, George.
Well, we will not be healed. I will not be satisfied with any excuse for not prosecuting these people after this IG report and Barr's investigations are concluded.
Interesting.
We've got to have people in jail. They have got to go to jail.
Yeah, there seems to be there's no price to pay. And I think a lot of Americans have really given up on any kind of justice. They really know, George, there's multiple forms of really justice. And they know that there is a deep state in play. And they know that people are playing with each other. And they seem not to want to come down on a lot of these people, like the Comeys and the Brennan Clapper. And as you mentioned, the Hillary machine there, and so many others. There's a whole litany group of these people, and Page and Strzok, and it's an endless list, George, criminals.
Well, watch for Strzok. If there's going to be a public trial, Strzok will be the one, and maybe Rosenstein will follow him, and then McCabe, possibly. Comey, I don't know. He should be, but they're going to have to feed somebody, throw somebody under the bus.
So you think they're going to go after the middle rung people, that those will go down as the puppets, but the others will live and survive and probably go on.
Yeah. Because the old tactic is just wait long enough and people will forget and the problem will go away.
Interesting.
That's the Democrat model. Deny everything, admit nothing, and blame somebody else.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, George, if we're not, I asked you the question about the left and right, if we're not the smarter, is the left smarter? You say, no, they're not. So then why is it the right has, because you made a great analogy. I love what you said just a bit ago here about, and I totally agree with you wholeheartedly. I think most listeners would. The Republican Party sold out a long time ago to conservatism. And George, I felt that in my heart 10 years ago, 15 years ago, when I was a younger guy and when I was even in the agency days. And I felt that really conservatism was not being represented properly in this Republican form of government. And I seen that in the early signs of it, quite frankly. Truly, I mean that. And I really started to question this Republican Party. And I found them very disingenuous, and I no longer really supported their ideals and what they were about. And I found there were a lot of people that were more than two-faced, but that were not carrying form in, you know, their campaign promises, and they were not really following a limited form of government. They were going after the reckless policies that the Obamas and the left went after with our government, big spenders, big deficits, big everything. And I really seen what they were doing with Shiner and all of the egregious things that have happened over the last 30 years since we've lost the Reagan years. We've gone to hell in a handbag, it seems to me, buddy. So if they're not smart of the left, why have the right allowed them to get away with so much over the last 30 years? Why do you think that is?
Well, it's egos. They're afraid to have their egos damaged. The press will go after them. Pelosi will go after them. Schumer will go after them. Embarrass them publicly, and then they end up embarrassing themselves publicly, as some have done. And so we have a signal change coming in our government right now, because a lot of those Republicans, the ones that we're talking about, the ones who are not conservative Republicans, are starting to abandon office, including Senate. So this election coming up for senators and congressmen, the Democrats are going to be charging every one of those, trying to get enough people elected to switch the balance of the Senate and maintain their hold on the Congress, the House, so that they can eliminate Donald Trump and return America to the Bolshevik ideas of socialism. And that's where we're at. So our congressional and Senate seats are the important things right now, but a lot of them are quitting and opening those leaving those seats vacant like they did last election.
Well, if everybody is hearing what you're saying right now, then we could have a real problem here ahead. If you listen to what George puts out there, and I think he's right. So, George, what you're saying is that a lot of the rhinos and a lot of the, you know, I don't know what you want to call them, far moderates, really left of moderate, really, but that are hidden under the Republican mantra. Well, it's just like, you know, James Comey, he had himself down as a Republican. Look at this Mueller dude. He had himself, this, in fact, I said to somebody just this morning, I think that was a cover-up. I think Comey and his wife and his family are far left Democratic, liberal, socialist, if you will. And I think that he put the R on there to throw people off the path, George. I don't think he ever was. I think that was a cover-up, George. I think that was a very smart, see, I think the left plays really smart, dirty smart, but smart. And I think they outsmart the right almost at every turn. But if everything you just said is true, George, I think we're in a heap of trouble, because here's what happens. If the millennials out there are believing that the socialism is as hot as it is, if a lot of the young people are really buying into this theory, and if unless middle America is really awake, and if they're not out of bed and truly awake, George, what's going on right now, we could be in a lot of trouble, because here's the problem. The rhinos and those soft Republicans who don't really represent conservative values, at least those were sort of washed out. Like, washed out meaning they weren't far left, but they were sort of, they were, you know, mediocre. They were minutiae. They were vanilla. They were, you know, they didn't have conservative values, but at least they weren't socialist, far left lunatics. Now, here's what happens, George. If all these vacancies are there now, and you're right, with all the people that are jumping out of government, if all these people now, if these positions don't get filled with the right candidates, and there's a possibility that, you know, there's a momentum on the left because there's such a hatred for Donald Trump. And the fact that the media has spun this so well because of they're being smart as they are, the left, and their education system and all of these things I keep telling you, then, George, we could have a real problem, because if those positions that you're saying are filled with leftist, socialist candidates and people that become our potential leaders and politicians, George, that's just going to be enough to sink us now, and that'll turn the union, that'll turn the republic to a hard left turn that we may never be able to come back from. Is that a fair assessment or what?
Well, it is. I thought we were there with Obama's first election, and the shocking re-election was confirmed it. But as he left office and Trump took over, I was heartened by the fact that at least we have somebody in there who's going to try to, and has, mm-hmm. reversed all those socialist programs. But once Trump is gone, there's not another Trump out there. I do not see another Trump on the horizon, and I see America slowly descend into the one world government, new world order thing, and led by people like John Kasich and Romney, Mitt Romney, and that, because that's all that's left. There are no more Trumps out there.
Yeah. Well, and the reason for that, George, is Trump is an anomaly. He is a very unique character, which is why a lot of people question, like, well, why does he have the support of Christians? Why does he have the support of the evangelicals as he's had? Because he wouldn't have won the last election. Let me be clear with everybody. 2016 would not have gone to the campaign of Trump if the evangelicals had not got behind this president. And so a lot of people would say, and are saying, George, like, well, because Trump doesn't come across as a choir boy. But, you know, the old saying, you got to fight fire with fire, you know, an eye for an eye kind of thing. You got to, you know, the thing about Trump's brand of politics, George, Trump will get into the gutter and smack you upside of the head. I mean, I understand that brand of politics very well. As I say, the high road doesn't always work, specifically when you have people that are in the gutter, in what I call gutter politics, which is what the left socialist Marxists use on a daily basis. And then when you tie all of the media outlets to that, and you tie all of the education system to that, you begin to see this game of cards, this house of cards, in what's really going on here. And you see the decline. And as George says right there, there's maybe not another Trump coming along. Trump, a lot of people believe he was sent here for various reasons. there's a reason why because nobody in their wildest imagination would have ever think this wild businessman, this bombastic businessman from the Bronx would rise to the highest office in the land. Nobody really thought that. I mean, if you watch Trump's career, if you've seen him speak as a speaker years back, you would not have ever guessed, because he really wasn't presidential material. Not the way we look at a president. I mean, he wasn't that. Come on, people, be real. You know that. I mean, Trump wasn't really of that caliber. I mean, Trump was a different kind of cat. And he, you know, the reason Trump is successful is because he doesn't give a damn. He doesn't give a damn. Let me keep it real and keep it clean. He doesn't give a damn. Yeah, can I say that to you?
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
The question I always get asked is, where do I get the energy from? Well, keeping up with Malcolm Out Loud is no easy task, friends, even for Malcolm. Well, you may know that I've personally been taking Healthy Cell for some time now. Well, the great news is Healthy Cell has a new type of natural supplement called the Nutrition Gel. So no more hard-to-swallow pills. The good-tasting gel can be mixed into smoothies, yogurt, or water. These gels provide maximum absorption of essential nutrients, and it's healthy for our gut, not abrasive like pills can be. You know, it's time for all of us to go pill-free. And you can try it with a free 2-day supply. Just cover $2.95 shipping, and the company, Healthy Cell, will cover the cost of the product. Go to healthycell.com/outloud, or simply click the Healthy Cell logo at the top of AmericaOutloud.com. It's your news and entertainment network. News blogs, informative podcasts, entertaining videos, or listen to 24/7 talk radio on our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa. We the People, AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Neither does it help when the media does not value the truth for the truth's sake, but for its usefulness in bringing down a president and pushing America to the brink of socialism. The left claims they want justice. But what is justice, really? Justice does not, nor ever has intended, to provide a guaranteed outcome. Justice is what I say it is. And that is a very thoughtful moment that you speak about here, George, in your article here. I think we've laid out a case right now, this tipping point we find ourselves in. Now, you study this. You've studied this for years, and you as a day in and day out. And that's why I wanted to have you on today and do a deep dive into this. How concerned should people really be? And what do you, there are days, I think, George, is it safe to say that there are days you wake up in the morning where you feel optimistic, and then there are days you probably wake up and you probably feel a little less optimistic, more pessimistic as far as the future of this republic. So how do we contrast that? How do we take those two thought processes? I think a lot of people are struggling with that scenario, George.
My optimism comes when every time Trump succeeds at something. My pessimism comes every time the media tries to downplay it or belittle it or say it's not true, a fake news thing. But I'm optimistic again when they can't sustain their argument. We're in the right direction. Where I get fearful is once Trump is gone, there's nobody to replace him.
I think that's a question to put out to everybody who's, the first goal, though, George, you would have to agree, is we got to get Trump reelected for 4 more years.
Yes, absolutely.
And if that doesn't happen, all bets are off right there. There's a risk factor right here that is very, very real. So how do we ensure that the forces come out and we drive this message home so that, that he gets elected.
Well, it, the word is pushback. And okay. I see pushback growing. In my county, in fact, in my district, it's almost, it's conservative. Doug Collins is my representative in Congress. David Perdue is my senator. Okay. Johnny Ickes is soon to drop out as my other senator, Republicans all. And the Democrats are determined to make Georgia a red, blue state.
Right.
That's a confusing thing. It's presently a red state. They're going to pour a lot of money into these contests here. And now we are seeing in our news and a revival of the of Republican or conservatism within the Republican Party. Even here in my little county, people were discouraged, like I had previously discussed, about the direction the Republicans were taking, not conservative, but the deep state, the existing government, the status quo, that's the word I'm looking for, wanting to keep the status quo. And the status quo is socialism. That's where we're headed, and they have done nothing to prevent it. But now we see a change. We see people are using my articles, as a matter of fact, to have, sustain their arguments against socialism. And then we, all you have to do is point, of course, to Venezuela, Cuba. Message is delivered. We're changing. We're pushing back. There's pushback. Your program, America Out Loud. What a wonderful platform for pushback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is pushback. That is a great way to put it, George. That is a very good way to put it. You know, I seen a quote yesterday from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez Stalin, lovingly referred to as she says, and I quote, young people are more informed than past generations. That's her quote. Now, that's almost, it's an interesting quote. And what does that really mean? Informed as to what? Now, when I see that quote coming from an AOC, it gives me concern, George, because, again, we continually talk about our education system from elementary school to the university level and what's being taught and what's happened because, again, conservatives have given up in there and they're not in there for the fight. In fact, a lot of conservative families are homeschooling their children right now. They've taken their kids out of the school system. There's a lot of changes happening in the school system. Quite frankly, the Department of Education is a joke and should be abandoned in Washington, D.C. We don't even need this form of this, this bureaucracy and this agency. It's doing nothing for education in this country. They pulled out history out of the history books. They're knocking down the statues. They're burning the flag. They're pissing all over the tulips. George, it's a mess out there. And then when you get an AOC say a quote that young people are more informed, you know, than past generations, I think that's a concern. You have that same sentiments or what?
Well, let me take a leaf out of the mainstream media's book. Young people are more misinformed than past generations. That's the headline, and we should say that. That's as easy as that. Just change their headlines. Argue against them. They're more misinformed.
Well, we're trying to do that here when you say that. I mean, that's the argument here. So if we take a look for it, I've started to think about what the attraction is to socialism, George. And I've started to think about the young people because I got to tell you, my kids, for instance, are in high school, George, okay? And they follow politics. I mean, they're conservative-minded kids, and they follow politics, and they can't talk about politics in school, and they try to hide the fact, or they have to hide the fact, that they support the president of the United States. And they tell me this all, they always get a bit ruffled when they talk to me after school or so, George, and the fact that all of the teachers and all of the school and most of the students all are indoctrinated into this left socialist thinking. And so, I mean, I've seen it with my own family, George, and they don't even know what to do, but they know if they have a conversation, if they bring it up in there, they know that they're going to be ridiculed and it's going to get ugly because they hate Trump. So what do we do when that's the case, buddy? You see the problem?
Yeah, we still see pushback. There's kids in schools who are who take a stand and are punished for it. And as soon as they're punished, they go to the public, make a mess out of it, and the school board ends up apologizing. And teachers are being fired, there is pushback. That's all you can do. You got to stand up and put on your suit of armor and go out there and bang some heads. It's as simple as that. You got to push back. You cannot let them hold the floor.
Yeah.
It cannot be held.
Well, we're not pushing back, though. A lot of people are not pushing back because they're taking what they call the polite road, or as I've said to you, because I've asked conservatives this question.
The best platform for pushing back is to attend Democrat Party meetings and town halls and then make an ass of yourself. So you get
the news. Don't let me stop you. Keep going, buddy. I love it.
That's it. You stand up, ask your question. It's got to be one that they cannot defend. How does Beto O'Rourke defend murdering a baby at the point of birth? That's a mother's choice. Well, how about the dad?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to challenge these people on this stuff.
I know. None of this is hidden anymore. None of it's hidden. It's put right out in the open. It's in the public square now. What used to be hidden before in the closet, George, is no longer. They don't hide any of this now. You understand?
Yes, it was hidden and deniable. Now it's no longer hidden, and it's certainly not deniable.
That's right. And look at it this way. For the first time in a general election, in a presidential campaign, in the history of our republic, we're going to have one of our two major political parties bring a socialist, really Marxist, liberal candidate to the forefront, because no matter who you pick out of those 20-some-odd candidates, it's going to be a socialist radical candidate, George. You see that?
Yeah, exactly right. And the remedy for that is to the Republicans have to start exposing socialism for exactly what it is. Failed. And every attempt that's ever been used failed. Yeah. People like Bernie Sanders will say, well, it failed only because people weren't true to its principles. Well, no, they were exactly true to its principles, and that's why it failed.
Yeah.
Failed in Venezuela, failed in Cuba, it failed in Cambodia, it failed everywhere.
Soviet
and every
Union.
Every time one of these countries succeeds in maintaining power, like, say, Vietnam or China even, they end up becoming capitalists anyway. The only thing that works.
George, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you a moment about the defining of conservatism versus socialism. You know, I started to look up to really understand this conversation. And in the Oxford Dictionary, they say that basically straight out here, that conservatism is the commitment to traditional values and ideas with opposition to change. The holding of political views that favor free enterprise, private ownership, and socially conservative ideas. So it's based on tradition, George. It's based on a social stability, stressing established institutions, and they prefer more of a gradual development to abrupt change. It's a philosophy for lower taxes, limited government regulation of business and investing, a strong national defense, and individual financial responsibility. What's wrong with that picture, right, George? I mean, a lot of us would say, well, that's good. I mean, those who work get, and those who don't and sit on the sofa don't get. I mean, it's a simple philosophy that we learn as kids.
That wasn't the philosophy before 1776. And it took a war,
that's right,
a small percentage of colonials to win that war against the largest government army in the world. And the result was the Constitution of the United States, which is the basis of our conservative policies. You simply have to go back to the Constitution and to find out what our principles are and where it says, where it permits what federal government can and cannot do, very limited, then that's what should be done. Everything else is left to the states. That's why California is turning into a crap hole. Sanctuary cities, for God's sakes, there's no law that says they can't do that.
Yeah.
The federal government can't stop them. We can stop funding them, but we can't stop them from having illegals running all over the streets, or the homeless running all over the streets, camping everywhere. I mean, you know, we know what's going on there. I don't have to repeat the flaws, but we have 50 states and 50 forms of government.
Yeah.
Not all of them are conservative.
Yeah, no. In fact, Dr. Ron Martinelli and Linda Martinelli always refer to California. They moved out of California to Texas a couple of years back here because it was getting so bad. And they loved California early on and spent a lot of time and money and businesses there and life. But they now call it, George, they now call it Calizuela. Is what they call it. And they write about it all the time. You see it on the platform consistently. But you know, really, George, in a wicked, weird sort of way, it's become the socialist state of California, hasn't it?
Yes, USSC.
Yeah, sadly.
It has indeed. That's exactly what it is. Oh, and that's a very good point I'd like to bring up. The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, watch for him to be a candidate for president probably 8 years. And that would be a total disaster.
Oh, my God.
A total disaster. And if he had as his vice presidential candidate this woman who makes syrup, Abrams, then America would be doomed. I mean, absolutely doomed.
Yeah, that's a hell of a forecast or a
I predict that is coming as surely as Elm Blight comes in January.
Well, I got to tell you what.
Abrams and Gavin Newsom has on a ballot somewhere for that aisle.
George, that's a wicked crystal ball program you put forth there, buddy. I don't like the sound of that.
It's a wag.
Yeah, it's a wag. Well, let me tell you, socialism, George, in the Oxford Dictionary, they say this: it's a political and economic theory of social organization advocating the means of production, distribution, and exchange that should be owned or regulated by the community, government as a whole. So these are leftist policies they're speaking about: consumer socialism, utopian socialism. It's a policy of practice based on the political economic theory of socialism. It's a transition, a social state between the overthrow of capitalism and the realization of communism. It becomes a Marxist sort of thing, but you got to stop a minute and question, why would anybody want that, George? Why would any really God-loving American want that?
Well, because the promise is promised free stuff. In that definition from the dictionary you read, one word is missing: successful. Read it again and put successful in there and see if it works. That'll make a liar out of you. But it's the free stuff. People are millennials of that age group are now taught to think that they are owed this by the government, not that they owe the government. They do not owe the government their time, their sweat, their tears. The government owes them free housing, paid free education, that sort of thing. And that's where we're at. That's the message that the Democrats are putting out. That's the AOC, the new face of the New World Order. She's not just a Democrat. She's the New World Order representative.
George, you say in the column here that you wrote here, this great read here, is our Republican form of government already lost here? You say here, speaking of crime, I am equally amazed at the thought process that convinced the highest ranks of the Department of Justice, the FBI, CIA, and the DNI to soil their hands in the crime of treason, trying to bring down through fraud and subterfuge the lawfully elected president of these United States. Fascinating read, George, huh?
Yeah, sure. What kinds of people think they can get away with it? To even entertain the scheme of that, doing that, because they think they are above the law, the Constitution. It's as simple as that. They're part of the self-feeding deep state. They're the bottom dwellers of government.
George, we're in a fight of our lifetime, aren't we?
Yes, we are. We certainly are. And all we can do is keep on and don't let them take your guns.
Don't let them take your guns. That's,
because we're going to need
There's a motive as to what they're looking after, which is why the right is so adamant about that Second Amendment, huh, George?
It certainly is. Yeah. It's in the Constitution. It's not, they didn't give it to us, God gave it to us, and I believe that. And we have to just...
Well, our Second Amendment is there because of our First Amendment, George, you know?
Yeah, precisely. You can't have a First Amendment if you don't have a Second Amendment.
That's it, buddy. That's it, yeah. We're at an interesting point of the Republic, George. You've seen a lot over your years. You've never seen a lot of people call this entertaining politics, what I call politainment. But it becomes less funny. It's not really funny, though, is it, buddy?
You know, it's deadly serious. We are in, we're in a deadly serious point in our development as a nation. We haven't reached the Roman time period of collapse, but if we don't do something, we'll get there.
Well, friends, you're listening there to the voice of George McClellan, who is a just a terrific guy here. He's a contributor here at America Out Loud. You'll find all George's writings if you go to the platform under bloggers, and you'll see his name there. And he has the most interesting reads. I would say, let me put it this way. I always look forward to a George McClellan column, without a doubt. He has, and again, he's a man who's, he's been around 80 years. He knows how to look at the world and has the experience. You can never shoot down experienced people. He's a historian and a political analyst, and he's one you want to watch for in the words of wisdom. And it really comes back to this message of conservatism that we preach so highly about, and what is what's behind it all. I started the program telling you that I think conservatives need to get tough. They need to get into the gutter and fight. And that's hard to say from a guy like me who always says take the high road. But people, the stakes are too high anymore to take the high road. So I know this is Malcolm telling you that now at this point. You heard George just a bit earlier to you say get to the rallies and disturb the rallies and do what they did to our rallies. And, you know, and you, in other words, by hook or by crook, we got to turn this thing over here. So, you know, the high road at this point has got to be that we got to take the fight to them, people. We got to take the fight to them. We can't let them own everything and run all the megaphone in this country and continue to indoctrinate these young minds. And because what's happened is we're going down a treacherous road of socialist Marxist policies that will change this country you love out there, this republic you adore, this country you were born into, that you were so blessed to be part of this country. It will change all of that forever. You'll never get it back again, people. Remember what I told you, and it's this. There is only one United States of America. There's only one in the history here. And there is not another one coming soon, anytime in your future, my friends. This is it. My advice, you better hold on to it. My other advice, it's time to get involved and get loud.